This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, I was in Civic yesterday. I was in the huge car park that's next to the court that I think is like across the road from like 88 miles per hour. And is it
the apartment building that looks like a theater?
Yeah.
It's got like the marquee, all the lights out the front of it. I'm like, geez, paying body corporate for all those lights. I'd be like, can we switch a few of those off after 11 p.m., guys?
Can we have the middle ones on?
Yeah.
I don't know. it feels like I'm on Broadway.
Yeah.
Is it the Melbourne building or the Sydney building?
Both of them, yeah.
It's like across from there.
I host trivia in PJs and park in that car park every week, and I'm not sure whether the one PJs is in is the Melbourne or Sydney building. Yeah. I don't know.
I have no idea either, but it's one of those ones. It's the big car park there, and usually of an afternoon, it's pretty packed. I'm sure you know this if you're going driving in for PJs on Monday. It's always packed because that's when people park when they want to go out for dinner or go for a couple of drinks and stuff. It's really nice.
Thursdays are pretty popular as well.
It's very popular, as I found out yesterday. Driving around, I kind of have the mentality of if I see someone driving... So I've seen someone pull out of a lane of like a row of car parks. Chances are there's not going to be one there.
Yep.
Unless I've seen them leave.
You have to be pretty lucky.
Unless they've driven past one, people usually scare it. So
car park etiquette is a massively important thing here in Canberra because we have, not even just my opinion, this is the NRMA released a study last year, like the most accident-prone car park in the country is here.
Yep.
I'm not going to say which one it is because I don't want to get into trouble, but
there is one.
There is one here in Canberra that is the worst one in the country.
There is not great car parks.
Yep.
Now, look, this one is fine. And look, I was driving around looking for something and I got stuck behind someone who found a car park, which is pretty annoying. It's like standing next to someone winning the lottery.
You're
like,
damn it.
Good on you. Well done. Here's where the problem and arrogance ensued. This guy who was a P-plater decided... So it was me, and I think there was seven cars behind me. It was a huge...
Sort of done like the rear view mirror, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I was like, oh my goodness. And I'm like...
More than five.
More than five. And I could see behind. I'm like, they're not even going to know that this guy's in front of me.
It's going to be your fault.
This guy, instead of just going, all right, well, pretty packed here. Obviously, slim pickings.
Obviously,
drives right in.
You get in there quick.
Reverse parked in. And the P-plater, who tried to reverse in, stuffed it up three times. In, oh no... Out in, not quite. Oh, go in. Oh, no. I'll go back out again. What's the punishment? Because the punishment for me when I was thinking
loss
of it
of
is
license.
Loss of license. I thought loss of car.
No, loss of car.
Yeah, sorry that the state owns your car now. You don't get it anymore. If you're going to be that arrogant at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night in a hugely packed car park, you clearly don't understand how the road works.
We can normally reserve this kind of judgment for like Christmas time in the shopping center car parks. But I think you're right. I think it should just be, unless you have the time and availability
and skill to do it.
To reverse. Well, skill's very important. Yeah, yeah. But even people with the skill, it still usually takes a 3-point turn at least.
You got to look back and you got to do everything.
Do not attempt it.
No.
Just don't attempt it. If there is more than, if there's even one person waiting to go past, don't attempt it.
Because it's just it's the height of arrogance. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, well, because you'll have to reverse at some point. Whether you park forward, you'll have to reverse out. If you have to reverse in, you'll get to be able to drive out. It's just going to everyone in the car park, I'd like to get out of here on my time. I won't be reversing out at all. I'll be scooting out like I own the Batmobile and the Batcave.
It's so funny that this is literally, for me, you have to pull out like... You can swing out and go quicker than you can swing in.
1,000%.
So... And this is, I'm mad at this because this is what I was building towards.
Mm.
Unless you are Batman, do not park like this. There is only one. If you park like this and hold up other cars, you better be wearing a bat suit when you get out of the car.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, if you have friends like the ones I'm about to describe in this story, throw them in the bin. They're not worth their time.
They're not your friends.
They're not your friends. They're clearly just using you for your goods.
Throw them in the bin. Throw the friendship in the
bin,
potentially.
Yeah. I also think throwing
around putting people in bins.
It's also quite hard to do, I'd imagine. I've never tried it, but I'd imagine it'd be quite
difficult. A lot of them have those little top toppers on them.
Yeah.
Very, very little things. Only a dog bottle to fit through. That kind of,
A skip would be all right. But bins, they're quite small as well. Anyway, reading into phrases too much aside, there is a couple who have gone to, I think, Reddit, and I'll read you the story because they put it pretty well and it paints a pretty good picture. We were invited to a friend's barbecue today for a barbecue. They called this morning to ask to borrow our barbecue. We assumed that they had broken or the one they had ordered hadn't arrived, but no, They don't have one. So we suggested that they come to ours and just bring the stuff that they were going to cook on their barbecue, as our barbecue is very heavy and large and probably won't fit in a car without removing the child seats and laying the seats flat. But it turns out that not only did they want us to bring them our barbecue, they wanted us to leave it at theirs because they were having other friends over for the evening and we weren't invited.
Wow. So they were going to get the lunch barbecue as like a... thank you for letting us use your barbecue. Now leave it here and go away.
So they thought, they're like, we're having a barbecue tonight. And they're like, oh, fantastic. And they're like, can we borrow your barbecue? And they were going, you know what? If you're cooking stuff, just bring it here because the barbecue's so heavy to lug around and stuff.
They're like,
we don't want to come to your house because we don't want you at this party.
Yeah.
We just need your barbecue. And not only that, we would like you to bring it to us and a gas bottle. And then... see you later.
I'm so confused because the story started off with them saying they were invited for a barbecue.
I think
so. There must have been like one they were, and then later in the night, the real one.
It sounds like they were invited. They thought they were invited because they called early in the morning to go, hey, can we borrow your barbecue? And they're like, oh, maybe theirs is broken or it doesn't work. And they're like, no, you got the wrong idea. You're not invited. We need your barbecue.
That's so rough.
Get rid of the word friend in that story, my friend.
100%. 100%.
That is one of the rudest things I've... Look, because this is it. I understand that some friendship groups don't mesh together. They're different people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't hang out with all your friends at once. That's completely fine.
Different facets to a personality inside you could mean different groups of friends.
Exactly right. And work. You got work friends, you got childhood friends, you got adult friends, everything, a whole spectrum. But if you are going to be arrogant enough to be like, hey, you need to... Can you please bring us a barbecue that's super heavy and you have the gas bottle too? You need to swallow whatever kind of reservations you have about your friend's meeting, and you need to invite that person to the party.
They just have to be the... And look, honestly, if it starts to get a bit awkward with your friends, you just to the friends that are not awkward, the ones being least awkward, you just go, these are my barbecue friends.
Don't worry. It's the barbecue.
they bought the barbecue. And then all of a sudden, everyone's grateful. They're like, let's go over and talk to the barbecue friends.
And that gives you something to chat about. Where'd you get the barbecue from? How much did it cost? Is it good? Is it good with gas?
I've not seen this kind of arrogance since my friend Luke was the first one out of our friendship group to get a PlayStation 2. Yeah. And so every sleepover was at his house from then on. It was like, oh, does anyone want to have a sleepover this Friday? Yeah, Luke's. Yeah, let's go to Luke's.
Luke's like, I'm not actually going to be there this weekend. That doesn't matter, Luke. Actually need to be there.
Can you leave a key under the mat or something?
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, you and I earlier in the week, I think maybe on Monday, were talking about the fact that there is a bit of a Heinz, there's a bit of a ketchup shortage in America.
The little packets, little sachets is the correct word for them. And I was very nervous that it meant ketchup full stop.
Yeah.
And I was starting to say the Australian government just strategically stockpile our ketchup reserves.
We need to hide it.
And then was very actually delighted to discover it's only the little packets.
Exactly
because
right.
Because that means now restaurants are having to give out human amounts of sauce.
Exactly right.
Not ant amounts of sauce.
A dribble of sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we kind of stumbled upon the idea of, if they're giving out way more sauce, then it actually could lead to a shortage.
Which is terrifying.
Talked about sauce for a very long time. Unbeknownst to us, Heinz, Australia, heard that and sent us, I think they're doing like a new footy sauce range.
It's footy ketchup.
And it's sick. It's cool. It's got like, one of them's got Nat Fife on it. It's, you know, it reminds me of a lot, and it was like quite nostalgic. It's when footy cards, like back in 2006, the holographic wild cards would have like the cartoon pictures on them. Now I think they're just shiny or whatever, but they used to be like really cool drawings.
It's funny because we used to work in Western Australia, right? Mm-hmm. But Heinz sent this little gift bag here to Canberra.
Yeah.
So they know where we work.
Mm-hmm.
But they did send us the footy ketchups with the West Coast Eagle mascot on one and Nat Fife from the Dockers on the other.
Very strange coincidence.
Think we still work in Western Australia, but we're based in Canberra.
Maybe they've been following our story for a while.
Yeah, right.
I think Heinz have been watching us very carefully.
I would have liked the Carlton ketchup, but
I would have liked a bomber one. But that's neither here nor there. The ketchup's all the same.
It's still amazing to get, like, at least if there is a ketchup shortage now, Heinz have assured us in the little note they sent us there won't be.
And they did. That's funny. They wrote us a note going, don't stress.
There's
we've
no
got
ketchup shortage.
Yeah.
But if there is, I've now got two bottles just stored ready to go.
You've got your own little reservoir of ketchup.
I do.
Now, you did say I've got two bottles, and the package specifically said Ned and Josh, and the note said, hey, Ned and Josh, I heard you talking about ketchup. Here's some Heinz bottles. Mine's gone.
It's at my house.
Why? Well, how have you stumbled upon that logic?
Because you don't like ketchup.
Not as much as you, but I have it.
Well,
I would like.
Damn it! I actually thought you wouldn't want it.
Here's the thing. Okay.
really arrogantly just was like, well, Ned's not going to want this. I'll take both of them.
I literally had a pie on Monday, and then I was like, I don't have any tomato sauce or ketchup. Yeah. And I had to have, funnily enough, my favorite condiment, sriracha, which here's the thing. Now, I know you've stolen this from me. The crime's been committed. It's at your house already.
It's there. It's in the pantry.
It's not enough that I've caught you red-handed. You've confessed on the stand.
I didn't even realize it was. I admitted to it being mine.
Here's what I'd like to have happen. There needs to be some kind of exchange.
Oh.
Heinz have done the honorable thing of sending us two bottles. You've taken them both. They probably had one of them already.
They've done the incredibly generous thing of sending. I don't think it's honorable. We're not entitled to brands sending us
things. Apparently I'm not entitled to anything. I would like something in return.
From me?
Of course from you.
Okay. With just your bottle back? Because you're right, I've only opened one of them. I'm not that much of a fiend that in 12 hours I've gone through two full bottles of ketchup. I mean, I didn't have fish and chips. That would require two bottles.
I had tomato soup. I just warmed it up in a microwave. Look, I don't know what the exchange is. I feel like sriracha would be fine, but at the same time, I also feel like I don't know what I want. I feel like the world's kind of my oyster. I've got a golden ticket.
Mate, you can have sriracha. I'm happy to buy you a bottle of sriracha. I'll tell you why. Because it means, even though Heinz has assured us it's not a problem, there will be even more tomato ketchup still in the world.
Yeah,
if you get
true.
If you get the sriracha.
I do want to...
Is sriracha tomato-based? I don't know.
No, it's chili-based, I think.
Great.
Fantastic. I actually don't even know.
Because I want to keep the tomatoes out there as well, so that the raw ingredients are still available.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I love Facebook Marketplace. I've only like recently really gotten into it, and I'm more like, I like perusing because it's like going into an op shop, but you can kind of like tailor it to what you like to see.
100%.
Now because I was into it for a little while and then realized, you know what, I probably don't have the money or resources to indulge this hobby, but I was quite into looking at Pokemon cards on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. But I also... It made me a little bit angry because I was seeing a lot of people trying to rip people. Like, because I've looked into it quite extensively of, like, what makes a Pokemon card super rare.
Yes.
I was seeing a lot of people charge a lot of money for not very good Pokemon cards. And I wanted to, like, do some kind of public announcement being like, if you're looking at this, don't buy it.
Yes.
You're not going to get money for it.
The problem is they don't allow public comments on everybody's individual listings.
And honestly, for good reason, because that would be absolutely abused.
I nearly got scammed out of money. There was a guy selling a bit of wrestling merchandise that I nearly got scammed out of money.
There you go.
He was very sketch, and I was like talking to him, and it was like, I was like, oh, what kind of condition is this in? He didn't know anything about it.
Right.
I was like, no.
I'm good.
No, yeah. I'm good, mate.
And
if
it was memorabilia, I'd imagine it'd be quite expensive.
It was, yeah.
But I've gotten furniture from there. I've gotten clothes from there. I've gotten it all from Facebook Marketplace.
I had a couple of speakers from Facebook Marketplace, and the guy who sold me the speakers did sort of do the little, oh, are you the dude from 104.7? So if you're listening to this dude, you ripped me off. They're crap. And you knew they were crap when you sold them to me. They're just now sitting in my hallway.
I feel so bad. Yeah, I do see them every time I walk past, and I assume you haven't set them up.
They're terrible.
I didn't realize that I didn't work.
There was an adapter broken off in one of the slots
that's right.
An adapter in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So
you
Facebook
scumbag.
Marketplace, whilst good and great, and you can pick up deals and bargains galore, there also is a bad side to it.
100%.
Now, I'm not talking about people ripping people off, but I'm talking about a guy who is abusing Facebook Marketplace for his laziness. And I honestly, I'll tip my hat. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Credit where credit's due. Because I saw yesterday, I was just going through, and sometimes it suggests stuff for you, and I don't know why it suggested this for me, but there was a guy getting rid of cans. Like, I think they were like oldish beer cans, but there was certainly some in there. They're all empty, and there was some in there that like you would see down at a BWS.
So you'd see them now? Can I ask, were there any that you didn't recognize the designs of?
No.
Yeah.
They're ones I've seen throughout my life.
Yeah.
So honestly, since 20, I was 18.
You're 26.
So for the last 8 years, I've seen all of these.
Yeah.
And honestly, one of them's like VB cans that I guess have in my fridge.
That's probably a guy going, you know what? This will be somebody who'll say, this will be worth something one day.
Exactly. The guy was giving them away for free. And I think this guy just can't be bothered going to take it. Or maybe he missed bin day and he doesn't want to wait another week. Yep. And so he's put it up there for friends. Like, if anyone wants these cans, they might be worth something one day. We can't turn Facebook Marketplace into your own personal garbage removal.
Yeah. This guy is giving this away for free, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has he heard of the ACT container deposit scheme?
Yeah, you can get money for them.
10 cents a can, mate. What are you doing?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, you and I get up very, very early. But honestly, if you're up at the moment listening to this, you also get up very, very early. So we're all in the exact same boat. Any way that I can bring you a tip or a helpful reminder, maybe something to keep in the back of your brain to wake up a bit chipper, a little bit happier.
Oh, that would be great.
I'll always bring it to you. And honestly, I probably won't ever bring it to you after 7 o'clock because
they don't deserve it. They get to live a normal life.
They live in luxury. You'll never hear this contempt after seven, but those people are the luckiest people in the world in my eyes.
Sleeping in until it's 7 a.m. Yeah. How amazing would that be?
Waking up to the sun to me is such a foreign concept. I couldn't even imagine what it's like. There is a study that's gone on that's saying that to wake up in a better mood and kind of like jumpstart your day a little bit better, the way to go is to set your favorite song as an alarm. Something you could like hum to or like a little bit melodic and you're like, oh, yay, woo. They go into extensive research and it's in extensive detail as to why this helps and it like kickstarts your brain. It's better than just beeping. But as two dudes, as I said for just the last 30 seconds, who get up super early, and I've honestly tried this several times.
I've tried it.
First of all, it doesn't work at all.
No, it doesn't matter.
You're still waking up at whatever, how you wake up. But B, it'll make you hate whatever song that you decide to have as your ringtone.
This is the one I used, and I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs. Yep. It's one of your favorite songs.
It is.
I started resenting it, and I was like, before this gets to a point where I can't hear this song ever again, no more alarm. No more alarm with Junior Senior.
Mine won't be in the system, but I had House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like... And then I had it, and I got used to hearing the first little guitar riff.
Yep.
And then I heard it in a movie, and I audibly went, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You end up hating the song. And it's a fantastic song.
Yeah, I started to not be happy with dogs for a while because I had the dog barking as my sound effect. Because I was like,
scary.
I was like, that'd just wake me up. It was like the iPhone standard dog bark one, and it worked because I was sleeping through alarms.
Yeah,
but then I started being mad at all dogs.
Exactly.
And I was like, I can't have this either. This is terrible.
And that does wake you up in fear, kind of.
This is an absolute crock. This is not true. This is not true at all.
I think you need to go as annoying, and I'm not even going to play it because I feel like it sends shivers down people's spines, especially if you woke up to it maybe an hour ago, but the stock standard iPhone, beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
That just, it is what it is.
It is what
you it is. You got to get up when you got to get up. Honestly, these scientists probably get up at 8 o'clock in the morning anyway.
I was going to say to you, the only people that enjoy waking up to their favorite song are people, Cinderella style, who get to wake up with the sun, with the birds chirping.
Exactly.
Hell, maybe birds fly in and help them get dressed in the morning. And they sing a merry tune to their favourite song.
Exactly.
Not
right.
Shift workers or people that get up at four. That's not who's waking up singing.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, in Taiwan, there is a legal rule that if you get married, you get 8 days paid leave.
That's sensational.
It's pretty
good. You get like a honeymoon... annual leave.
Yeah, exactly right. And you don't have to take any time off. You get paid for it. It actually is. It's really, really...
It's absolutely
very nice.
Awesome.
But with any good thing comes someone who wants to exploit it.
Yeah.
And honestly, why not? You might as well. If it's there, you might as well.
You can take advantage of the annual leave.
Sure.
Fantastic.
There's a guy who got married to his wife, and he worked at a bank, and he realized that the eight-day thing kind of took place. And so he decided, you know what? 8 days paid leave isn't enough for me. So he decided what he was going to do was divorce and remarry his wife, divorced her 3 times and then remarried her married her 4 times.
Wow.
That's important.
So he's pulled the 4.
There's more marriages than divorces.
Yes, so he's only done this. Wow. Does it say in what kind of a time span he's done this?
Quickly.
Oh, no. You got to space that out if you're going to do that trick.
Exactly right. But it's a legal thing. So it doesn't actually matter if it looks sus. If it's on paper, if it's legally on paper that you got remarried 4 times, they technically have to give you 32 days paid leave.
Oh, very good.
The bank he worked with have gone... No way, Jose. We know what you're doing. We're not giving you 32 days off, paid, by the way, a month off. To which the guy's gone, well, look, I appreciate your... I don't appreciate your hostility. But at the end of the day, it's not up to you. It's the law.
It's the law.
You have to give me this time off.
Here's the marriage certificate.
Exactly. And here's the divorce one, and the marriage one, and the divorce one, and the marriage one, and the divorce one,
and the marriage one. Did he present them all in one go, did he, to try and accumulate the 32, or did he take 8 days with very little gaps in between?
He tried to get them all at once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is...
Yeah.
finding a little loophole.
Yep.
Brilliant. Because mm-hmm. I imagine what, like, if you get divorced and then remarried, what, you're getting a couple of legal proceedings done. If you don't actually try to divvy anything up and you immediately get remarried.
Yep.
So what, you're paying for the divorce, you're paying for the marriage certificate. That's less money than 8 days leave, I would imagine. That's a nice little scheme. Maybe you do that once every 6 months.
Yeah,
you can get away with that potentially forever.
That's it. You go into work and it's like, Gary, how's the wife? Not good. We got divorced again. And then on Monday, we're rehired. It's funny it happened while we had a massive weekend, but we're remarried again.
It's amazing they just say, Gary, maybe just every time you guys have a fight, just give it a cooling off period, mate.
Exactly.
Just see, maybe don't get divorced immediately.
Just chill out. He went to court. They sided in his favor. So they actually gave him the money.
That's amazing.
For the 32 days, which ended up being $530.
Okay.
Which that's not enough money. That seems like such a hassle.
Yeah, the hassle involved in doing this as a scheme probably for me would make the scheme not worth it itself.
Yeah.
I don't care about the money. It's just the hassle involved.
It's like
trying to fill out the government paperwork.
Yeah.
It's just a hassle.
And I imagine there'd be legal fees and everything that you'd have to go through. It's like if Danny Ocean in Ocean's 11 was like, all right, guys, we're stealing $10 million. I've bought this $11 million drill.
Wham,
what?
They did buy a super expensive drill in that movie, actually.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, on the show, we catch up with my nan. Her name's Robin. She's 80. She's actually 86 now.
Good on her.
Yeah, she has a bit of a chat to us about all things going on in her life.
Yeah.
It used to be about pop culture. We put that on hold a little bit because she dropped off as our entertainment correspondent.
And there wasn't a lot of entertainment going on.
Because of COVID. But, the cinema's opened in her town. So we said, go review a movie. That was 2 months ago.
She went to go see The Dry.
We're going to see if she can become our entertainment correspondent again in this week's edition of...
Rockin' Robin. Rockin' Robin.
Nan, good morning.
Good morning, my boy. How are you?
Yeah, good.
The phone.
Yeah, well, you did answer the phone. And what I find's more interesting is you're in the car with Pop, so Pop technically answered the phone, which maybe means you have been dodging our calls, Nan.
Yes, well, I probably have.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that much candor. It also sounds like you've got Lionel working as your PA or something.
I'm the Uber.
Yeah, you're the Uber. Look, mate, keep it to a minimum, or otherwise you'll get 3 stars.
Yeah, no, you got to keep the chit-chat down. Now, Nan, this is phenomenal to be able to talk to you, because we had a couple of things we wanted to ask you about, namely your big train ride to Sydney. How'd you go on the Orient Express?
Was there any murders?
That was very funny. We had a day sitter to ourselves, and coming home, I booked in and I said, can we have the same deal? And the guy said, look, I'll do even better. I'll give you 2 day sitters in case you're still not talking to each other.
Separate cabins.
That's fair dinkum. We had a day sitter each.
Yeah, if it was a night time, the one that they sleep in, you know?
Yeah.
That PA comment that I made is kind of a little bit closer than I thought.
That's a Uber driver.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's phenomenal. I was a little bit nervous when you said we'll do you one better. I thought they were going to let you drive the train back to Melbourne.
Just put more coal in and you'll be right.
Yeah. Hey, Nan, you were mad that we haven't spoken to you because we asked you to review The Dry, the movie.
Like
with
2 months ago.
2 months ago, and you apparently went and saw it and were ready to give us a big review.
I was ready to give you a big review. I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I thought it was excellent. And I haven't read the book, so I don't know how that compares. But it was quite interesting. Being in Cobram, they put a big thing up on the screen saying that the photographer come...
Cinematographer?
Yeah, that type of bloke. And... he's actually a Cobram boy.
Oh,
great!
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Wow, that's really cool,
Robin. I can't help but point out that you're currently reviewing a movie that's no longer in cinemas in a town that no one is going to hear this in. Look, shout out to Cobram, I guess.
Excuse me, Ned. Had you rung me straight up the next week?
Oh, dear, she's got me.
So it wasn't the next week, but it definitely was the week after that.
And
I have the call logs to prove it.
Please bring them up. I've been put in my place.
This was an issue of contention on our Easter FaceTime call, because we have been calling you and you've not been answering. So what's been going on, Nan?
Well, Well, maybe the phone was on silent. That's all I can think of.
Maybe I didn't answer it.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to be quick as Lionel.
The PA's been letting you down, then.
Well, the thing is, it comes up with a private number, so he probably blocked you.
Yeah, no, maybe it. Just pop owe people money. He's dodging debt collectors or something.
Yeah, that's right.
That was once again a little too honest.
Yeah, a little too honest.
Guys, well, thank you very much for answering
it's
today.
It's been great to chat.
For Christmas, I'm going to get Poppy's own phone,
yeah.
And then he can just hand you the phone when we try to do this again, Nan.
Thank you.
No problems. Bye, Nan. Bye,
Poppy. See you, Robin. See you, Lionel.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
Rock and Robin.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.